Blog Talk Radio.
My name's Juwanza.
And this is Yvette.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are very excited today. It is an awesome day to talk about real estate. It's an awesome day to talk about the home buying process. First, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the listeners who've been tuning in. Thank you for all of the feedback that we've been getting from you. It's just wonderful to know that we're touching a nerve out there. There are a lot of people out there that are interested in the home buying process. And as you know, we're in the middle of a series, a six-part series on the home buying process, where we go from A to Z telling you about the home buying process.
Absolutely. And so for those of you that are tuning in today for the first time, you can go back to our archive shows and actually listen from the beginning to be brought up to this current show. We've already done a show on personal finance, credit reporting, the role of the lender, and the role of the real estate agent. So as Juwanza mentioned, today we're going to talk about the home inspection.
You know, I think when it comes to the home inspection, a lot of times people aren't really aware just how important that piece of this puzzle is. I mean, it is vital.
Absolutely.
It is a great, great, great opportunity to be able to speak with our special guest for the hour.
Absolutely. And I would say as a real estate agent, it shouldn't be optional. It should be mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
This is the largest investment that you'll probably make, a buyer will probably make in life. So they definitely should, for the cost, it is definitely worth getting a home inspection. And we're going to get more into that, and we're going to get ready to introduce our special guest. You want to introduce our guest?
Gladly. Our special guest today is Miller Van Fossen. He's a licensed home inspector in the state of Virginia who owns Cornerstone Inspections. That's, again, located in Richmond, Virginia. He takes pride in being very thorough and making sure that his clients are comfortable and informed. I mean, you've had an opportunity to work with Miller before.
Absolutely.
Is he thorough?
Absolutely. Not only is he thorough, as you mentioned, he will educate you on the process, which is definitely something that I love about our special guest, being able to have the patience
mm-hmm.
to actually, you know, inform the clients concerning this part of the process.
You know, whenever I speak to someone about their expertise, I'm always curious about what got them started in that particular endeavor to make a career out of it. I mean, because we've been fortunate enough to have experts on this show. I mean, from the person who talked about the lender, the personal finance and the credit reporting. I mean, we've had experts on this show, and it's no different now. You know, Miller Van Foss, he's an expert. So when we talk to people that are experts, I'm always curious, you know, what got you started in this field? So I'll kick it off with that. That'll be my first question. Miller, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. What got you started and led you to start and operate your own company?
Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. As far as what got me started, you know, I've grown up in the construction realm, always fixing up things. I was a project manager for a construction company. And just seeing how people do things when they don't do things right and what it leads to down the road. And you know, seeing people getting taken advantage of, it's, you know, it didn't sit well with me. So being able to inspect houses and see what was actually going on with them was where I wanted to be at, being able to educate the people, like you said in the beginning.
That's wonderful. That, I mean, and we need inspectors that have that sense of wanting to make sure that the clients are peace of mind, you know, when you buy a home, because, again, this is one of the largest investments that you'll ever make. So when you purchase that home, you don't want to anticipate major expenses and major problems after you're about to start paying your mortgage payments, and then something
right.
major happens, and that's difficult, and that can be create a financial hardship for people, especially if you're a first-time homebuyer as well, and you're just kind of getting started, and you just probably just pulled together your down payment and everything. So definitely that's something, as you mentioned, we want to help people to avoid things that you should have known even during this
Correct.
Process.
And there's a lot of responsibility, I would think, that comes along with being a home inspector, because so much is riding on you getting it right. You know, I mean, even from safety concerns to looking at, you know, breaker boxes, and, you know, it's certain things, are certain things, you know, aligned the way they should be. You know, so I can imagine that you have to really take pride in your work just simply because of the, you know, the concerns, the consequences of not getting it right.
Well, exactly, you do. And, you know, you think about it, I have kids myself, and, you know, kids are running around the house doing a bunch of things. If, you know, they get off on their own and touch something that they shouldn't, or, you know, something's not wired right, or, you know, a piece of mechanical equipment wasn't installed properly, I don't want to see anybody's children get hurt. And so that's what we want to prevent beforehand. I want you to know what you're getting into, and that should be the goal of every inspector. You know.
You're right about that. That should be the goal of every inspector. So that's why we're educating people today on that process, so that they can know exactly, you know, what is the, you know, what's involved when you're talking about a home inspection. So so we just start out by asking, Miller, how does a person go about finding a home inspector? What do you think is the best way to go about finding a home inspector? Of course, right now we have a home inspector here, but what are some of the other ways they can just information about a home inspector?
Well, a lot of times, you know, when you're working with a realtor, they know different home inspectors, so that's a good way to go. Usually realtors work with people that they trust. There's word of mouth, advertisement, and just talk to people. See, everybody at one time or another, you know, purchases a house or knows somebody who has purchased a house. So more than likely they've gotten a home inspection. So just talk to people, see what they liked, see what they didn't like. You want to have a good fit. You want to feel comfortable with the person that's going to be inspecting your house that you're trying to make a home.
Absolutely right. I always tell people you're building a team. And so if someone comes to me first, and you're right, often I just refer people that I've worked with and I know that's going to do a good job, because you have to submit a report. And during this time, you want someone that's going to be thorough and that's going to, as we said before, just kind of educate the person along during the process.
You know, I've really that the next question that we have is, for example, why is it important? You touched upon it earlier when you talked about even, you know, just having children drives home the importance for you, knowing, you know, just you want your area, your home to be safe. But because, and I agree with Yvette, that it should be something that's mandatory. It really should not be optional just because of that. But could you talk for a moment just about why it is important to, you know, even just in addition to the safety, what are some other reasons why you would think that it's important for people to get their home inspected prior to making that purchase?
Well, so I inspected a home not too long ago, and the house was totally redone. They did a great job, you know, with the interior of the home, and everything was looking okay. There were some indicators that some things might be going awry, but when I went under the home, the contractor, unbeknownst to the homeowner who paid the contractor to do all the work, had not touched the foundation and is actually falling in on itself. And so from, you know, after the inspection, the clients, they ended up saying, hey, you know, this might be a little bit more work for us, but, you know, thank God the homeowners were like, hey, we're going to take care of this. We didn't know all that happened. But, you know, the stairs actually a couple months later ended up, you know, starting to fall within the house. And it's, you know, a lot of times you don't know when you're just walking in a house. It looks beautiful. It looks great. This is everything you wanted.
Yeah.
But if you can't see what's going on underneath or in the attic, or you don't know what to look for, you could be thinking you're getting a great deal, but a couple months down the road, it's a safety concern.
Absolutely.
Well, what about Miller, the age of appliances? How important is that for the prospective buyer to know when considering making an offer? How important is it, you know, when it comes to the age of the appliances? Is that a big issue for you when talking to the home inspector? I'm talking with the client about, and I know you can't really advise them on whether this is a good buy or a bad buy, but is that something that they should be concerned about?
It just depends. Some people, when they go into a house, they're like, oh, I want to, you know, I don't like these stainless steel. I want black appliances or, you know, whatever it may be. So they want to change it up. But for me, they don't make things like they used to. Some of the older appliances work just fine. And you could have new ones that go bad, you know, 2 years down the road. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of up in the air, depending on what types of manufacturer recalls they may have. And so I always suggest you might want to check into that, depending on what type of appliance is in the home. And if I know of any defects, I'll definitely, you know, let the client know. But if it's more towards like the heating and air conditioning system, well, you know, they're generally good for 15 to 20 years.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what you get out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what type of appliance it is.
Okay. So, you know, last week I did the role of the real estate agent. And so just to bring everyone up to where does the home inspection part fit into the process? So, again, as I mentioned last week, once a buyer makes an offer and that offer is accepted, it's legally binding, it's ratified. So then the next step, if the seller agrees to a home inspection, would be to get that home inspection done. So we actually have to put that into the contract offer to get that accepted, and then we have a certain amount of time to have that home inspection done. So that's why it's very important to also understand that that's something that you do after the contract is ratified. Now, some people can do a home inspection, like, say, for instance, if it's you're personally purchasing the property or it's a and you want to get an idea of should you even invest in the property. But as far as the
Correct.
Typical home buying process for maybe a first-time home buyer, you know, we're kind of walking buyers through that those steps. And so the home inspection process actually occurs during this window of time that's determined up front. And so we as real estate agents have to get our clients to get that home inspection done. The home inspector writes up a report, and that report is very important for us to find out what is wrong, any problems and things that's wrong with the property. So that's a contingency because, as Miller mentioned, if a person finds something that's major, such as foundational structural issues, then you have an opportunity to get out of the contract. But it's not as easy to just walk away, so that is a contingency. But, Miller, can you talk about the difference between a home inspector and an appraiser? Sometimes people get those terms mixed up.
Right. Well, I think one of the easier way to look at it is the appraiser is, you know, working for the bank and the loan. The appraisal takes into account the location, the market value, and things like that. The home inspection is actually going to be dealing with the quality of the home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So who should be present at the home inspection? I mean, I know that if possible, you would think that the buyer would be present, but, you know, some people say, oh, well, I got to work, you know, I can't make it. I mean, is that something that they should definitely put into their schedule, make time to be there for?
I definitely would. Whenever I have home inspection clients, I always like to tell them, hey, you're feel free to follow me around, ask me any questions, because this is the home that you're going to be purchasing. It's a huge investment, so I want you to be as comfortable with it as you can. Any questions you have, you know, feel free to ask. It's like y'all said before, it's a huge purchase. It's not something you do every day, and you know, you want to be totally vested in it.
Absolutely. And I normally tell my clients as well, you know, walk around with the home inspector. Let the home inspector show you where the breaker box is, the, you know, how to operate something, you know, that might not be so easily, you know, that might not be easy to know how to operate. But I do want to go back to the last question that I asked about, what is the difference between a home inspector and appraiser? And you said that the home inspector looks at the quality of the home. So I just want people to be clear concerning when you say quality of the home. So you mean any problems that will determine what needs to be repaired, or are you looking at what's currently or possibly in the future could happen with some issues that you may see? Is that right?
So pretty much we're looking at defects, safety
yes.
issues, yes. things like that. If it's something behind the walls, like we have some thermal cameras, and if there's issues, we can kind of see a little bit, you know, potentially what's going on. But normally it's just the defects and the safety concerns, making
mm-hmm.
sure the appliances, the mechanical systems are in good working order, if
yeah.
they're installed properly, because you can have tons of issues if units aren't installed properly.
Yes. Yes, so absolutely. So do you recommend a home inspection for new construction?
I do. I get asked that a lot. I'll tell you a little story. I had somebody from our church call not too long ago, and they're like, hey, you know, we're buying a new home. Would you recommend getting a home inspection? I mean, it's a brand new home. What do you think? And I was like, well, not just because, you know, this is what I do. I would definitely recommend on a new home, because we did the inspection on their house and realized things on the roof weren't correct. They had missed insulation under the home, vapor barriers. I mean, it was about $15,000 to $20,000, and I don't even know if you would call it repairs, but things that they should have done more proficiently from the start, or done from the start in general, that they had
yeah.
to go back and redo because of that.
And that was new construction, and that's something that you caught before closing. I know a lot of times people might think, okay, yeah, they have different, I guess, other inspectors, city inspectors, county inspectors that come out and check as they doing different things in different phases. But what you're referring to is, we're talking about the actual home inspection, where you're actually, just like you said, you're checking for those type of things to make sure that those items are in place.
So when
correct.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mel.
No, I was just going to say, as far as, you know, with the types of inspections, when you're getting a new, building a new home, you can get a pre-drywall inspection as well, which allows the home inspector to see what's been going on prior to the drywall and the finishings going up. So you can make sure, you know, there was proper flashing around the windows and doors, making sure it was framed correctly, making sure the trusses are all engineered properly and they're not cut, things, making sure the plumbing is in the right area, just things like that that you wouldn't be able to see after the sheetrock and finishing materials go up.
So when you make your recommendations, for, you know, when you're putting together the home inspection report, making a list of all of the items that you see that need to be addressed, how important is it, or do you even add this as a stipulation or even a requirement that the repairs be done by licensed professionals, because sometimes, you know, people know handymen. People know, you know, people that are jack of all trades.
Right.
Oh, you fix that, you know. But how important is it, or does it depend on the item that is, you know, being that you're asking to be fixed, whether it's a major item or a minor item? Would you ever ask that or stipulate that a particular item must be fixed by a licensed professional?
Well, for me personally, I usually put in there, you know, fixed by a licensed qualified contractor. But if it's something like, hey, you know, this door hinges are out of alignment, or, you know, something simple like that, you know, a handyman could do it. I'm not knocking handymen, because a lot of times, you know, they do phenomenal work. But if you're doing something like electrical work, HVAC, plumbing, you want to make sure that you have some backing in the people that are doing the work. You want to make sure they've got some skin in the game as well. Because you want to make sure it's done properly. I mean, because that's, you know, you don't want to just hire anybody. You know, everybody's got that friend. Oh, I've got a guy who can do it for cheap, or I've got, you know, well, a lot of times is, you know, what you pay for is what you get, and you want things done. Do you want that peace of mind, or, you know, do you just want to say it's done right? And so, I don't know. It's one of those things that I like to put in there by a qualified contractor, just because, you know, the people that I'm doing an inspection for, I want to make sure they're getting the best work.
Absolutely. And the contracts that we use also has it kind of written in there, but sometimes I actually like to definitely even specify it, or the, like you said, the home inspector will have it written within that report, definitely recommending a licensed professional for that particular trade. Because when you do the home inspection, what type of things are you doing actually when you – you know, what should a person expect from a basic home inspection?
Well, what you're going to be looking for when you get a basic home inspection, you're going to have your foundation, you're going to have your framing, the roof, the siding, the gutters, decks, your electrical, plumbing, heating and air conditioning, and there's, you know, there's other, I guess, branches that you can go off into, like sprinkler systems and pools, but that's usually, you know, on a separate contract. But I like to tell people when I inspect your home, it's kind of like giving it a colonoscopy. It's things that maybe you can't see offhand, but we're going to look through it.
Okay, yes. So what about, like, In some situations, people may say, well, I want, what about mold? Or what if I want to check for asbestos? Or, yeah, just different things like that.
That's going to be something that we're definitely looking for, because that's your health. And if it's asbestos, that's a large cost that, you know, if it's not caught soon, you don't want that cost to transfer to the new buyer that they have to pay for to get remediated, because that's an expensive process and it can be a long process.
Yeah.
But you were checking for asbestos, mold, types of insulation, even, you know, we like to check for some types of popcorn ceilings. They used to have asbestos in them. So seeing, okay, well, you know, what year was that put up, to make sure that, even the popcorn ceilings don't have asbestos material in them. Anything that's going to affect your health and safety is definitely going to be first and foremost.
So would you say that the home inspection is the home inspection a loan requirement? You know,
what
can affect negotiations or affect the deal?
You know, if some loans require you to have home inspections, others don't. So it just depends on the type of loan you get. I know if, say, you're buying a home, but you're going to be doing renovations and they have a renovation loan, they may have their own inspector from the bank who's lending the money come out there and inspect it as well. But it just depends on the type of loan that you get.
Yeah, I often say, for instance, when an appraiser comes out and if it's an FHA loan, they have their own inspections. Sometimes if it's grants, they send out different,
right,
you know, additional inspectors to come out. But basically for the basic home inspection, that's what we're covering today. And, you know, people wonder sometimes, okay, I got my home inspection, and I know you probably run into this all the time, Miller. So what if something breaks down the day after the home inspection?
Well, you know, as home inspectors, a lot of inspectors write in their contract, hey, you know, the inspection is good for 10 months or whatever the number is. But that doesn't mean, hey, if something breaks, that's something that you're liable for, because things can break at any point. It's more mostly on the negligence part, like, oh, hey, you should have caught this. As
yeah,
far as like home inspector liability goes. And that's why, you know, we try to be as thorough as possible. And if I try to put in there, you know, hey, these are usually good for this amount of time, so it may be working now, but I might be put in your budget as a deferred cost item, because at this point it's working, there's nothing wrong with it, but, you know, you just need to kind of keep that in mind as something that's, you know, going to go in the future.
Have you ever ran across a situation like this, Miller, where you've done a home inspection and the seller, excuse me, the seller isn't pleased necessarily with the items that you've found to be faulty and in need of repair? So I guess my question is, who is your loyalty, if that's the word, to? You know, have you ever had a seller give you a call and say, hey, man, come on, man, you're killing me. You know, you're writing up all this little bitty stuff here. I mean, who's your loyalty?
My loyalty is to the client, the buyer. That's first and foremost. Like, and I don't go out and give, you know, the inspection report to the current owner, you know, of the home. My loyalty is to my client, and that's the only one. Them and their realtor are the only ones that are going to be getting a copy of the report, and everything that's in my report, it's not like, oh, I'm trying to find the correct way of putting it, but it's if it's a defect, it's a defect. Or if it's wrong, it's wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's not much opinion in that.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
I, you know.
Go ahead.
You can continue.
I was just going to say, and, you know, I try to make it a practice. I don't, you know, try not to speak with the people who are selling the house about it, because that's not who hired me, and that's not, you know, who my loyalty is to. That's not my client.
You know, I totally agree, because in situations like that, I have to back and support the home inspector, because, again, my loyalty and my I'm representing my client and their best interest, and so that's why, especially if I refer a home inspector, I do know that home inspector is not and should not be when I say the word bias in the sense that they, they're definitely looking out for the client, but not in a sense that they are not aware that, you know, other issues may be of concern to other people, or that lawyer's team may also lie to the real estate agent, because, like, I want more business.
Mm-hmm.
I want this real estate agent to continue to refer me to other. Well, I would prefer the home inspector to fully represent as well our client, and I have run into a number of situations where the listing agent is like, who is that home inspector? They just wrote up, so they're trying to break the deal. But
right.
I realize, of course, in my client's best interest, and I'm in this business to stay. So I
right.
want my client to be happy, and that's a part of the job of the home inspection. That's why we recommend a home inspection. But if there are situations where a second opinion would be needed, do you normally, you know, if someone comes back or if an agent comes back to you, do you recommend, or I think sometimes you may put it in the report that get a licensed roofer or
right.
because that's so your licensing covers what general inspections, and then if it's something that's specialized, then you'll refer make a note to that.
Well, I mean, I can do specific, say, a foundation inspection or a roofing inspection or things like that. But if, like you're saying, if something is in question and they want another opinion, then I would definitely recommend, hey, you know, if it's a roof, you know, get a roofer, get a couple of them. You know, it's because I know what I'm reporting on is it's not opinion. You know, it's not like, hey, I really don't like this color wall. It's, hey, this is either right or wrong. And I like to take a lot of pictures in my reports to show, hey, this is what it is. Because
yes.
So then there's no, well, that might not be, you know, yada, yada. It is what it is. And, you know, just facts. You know, I'm not there to say, hey, buy the home, don't buy the home. I'm here to tell you the quality of the home, you know, and make sure you're comfortable and you know what you're getting into.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that you said earlier, Miller, that I really appreciate is that if you see a defect, it's a defect. A defect is a defect. And so let's say, for example, you're looking at a big house, okay, and let's say you might see 20, 25 defects, you know, and, you know, the list just keeps getting longer and longer. The more you look, the more you find. You know, if it's there, I appreciate the fact that you would write it up, because some people might feel like, oh, gosh, I can't put too many things down here. Now, even though it's common knowledge that the seller might not agree to repair everything on the list, but it's still important, I think, to write it up.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. It's not my job isn't to say, you know, go into the negotiations part, we'll repair this or repair that. I'm going to tell you all that's wrong, and then, you know, you and your realtor – can, you know, take that back to the table. You know, my job is to give you the facts and, you know, go from there. I don't get, you know, if I only did, oh, well, this is just too many defects, or, you know, they have enough defects on this house, I wouldn't be thorough in what I was doing, and I wouldn't be doing a good job. And that should be the same for any inspector.
You know, I really depend on the home inspector as well when it comes to, you know, just when the cost, you know, the cost involved repairs. Now in Virginia, the home inspectors, they're allowed to write, or we like to see an estimate of how much it would cost for a particular item to be repaired, because when you're weighing or negotiating back and forth with the seller concerning the repairs, they may not, as Juwanza mentioned, may not agree to everything. It's optional. It's also an opportunity for the buyer to walk away if they cannot reach an agreement. But what would you consider a deal breaker? I know you don't, you know, you don't, you might not get involved as far as telling a person whether they should walk away or not, but I do depend on home inspectors to let me know, say, for instance, if it's definitely a foundational issue or the cost is very expensive, and the seller's not agreeing to it. Sometimes FHA loans and different appraisers may pick it up, and they will require the seller to fix those items, but that's after we've ratified the home inspection. So how would you handle a situation if a real estate agent comes to you and say, listen, I mean, we have a lot of things going on in this house, and basically, say, for instance, I would want to know, what would you consider a deal breaker? I mean, is this house in bad condition that you would say I wouldn't move forward with it?
Well, I also it depends on, you know, the client, because some people are like, hey, I'm gutting this place, I don't care, and I'll fix whatever, I like the location. But if it was something where, you know, this is, you know, they're already pretty much all in on their budget, you know, with the home, yeah, definitely foundation issues.
Yeah.
If it's a large foundation issue, and there's a lot of companies that, you know, can come out there and give you an estimate on how much it would be, because some foundation issues, you know, it may be a foundation or structural issue, but the fix may only be $1,500. So,
okay.
You know, something like that wouldn't be a deal breaker. But if I see there's, you know, consistent sagging in the home going from, you know, from top to bottom, the house is leaning. And you know, it's just things that, from the information that I've gathered, is going to be too much for what the client is wanting. I'm pretty straightforward, and I'll let them know, hey, you know, this is about this, how much this is going to cost, or, hey, the amount that this is going to cost probably isn't worth, what you're going to get out of it. I mean, I definitely like to talk to the realtors and clients about those things. It just depends on what the issue is.
Okay.
Hey, I want to give everybody an opportunity to join the conversation. If you're listening online, the call-in number is area code 516-387-1425. Again, that's 516-387-1425. My name is Jawanza. I'm in the studio with my lovely wife, Yvette. We're talking to Miller Van Fossen, owner and operator of Cornerstone Home Inspections. This is health, wealth, and real estate, and you are getting a serious, serious education today in the role of the home inspector. The home inspection is so vitally, vitally, vitally important. Even for those, if you missed it, yes, even on new construction, if you just had your house built, you better get a home inspection, just as if you were buying a house that was built 15, 20 years ago. Yvette?
Absolutely. Mill, I wanted to check with you. So, When is a home inspector paid, and what would you say the average cost is for a typical home inspection?
So the home inspector is usually paid after they complete the inspection, and some inspectors won't deliver the report without payment. I'm usually more in the lines of, hey, you know, I'm trying to build a relationship with my clients and things like that. So, I mean, I'm not too particular on that stuff, but usually it's after the inspection.
Okay. And all right.
As far as fees, go ahead.
No, you can continue.
Oh, as far as the fees goes, it usually depends on the year of the home and the square footage of the home. A ballpark, you know, a house that's maybe 2,000 square foot, maybe built in the last 20 or 30 years, you're looking at, you know, $350 to $425, depending on who does it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of home inspectors, you know, they put in there thinking, well, we're not going to evaluate the electrical panel, or we don't like to get on the roof. It just depends on what you're getting.
And that's good that you just brought that up, because I think that's a great question to ask the home inspector, for a buyer to ask the home inspector up front, exactly what are you? Do you inspect crawl spaces? Do you go on the roof? Because believe it or not, some people do not inspect crawl spaces or go on the roof.
that's right. I had a trainee going along with me one day. Somebody had referred him to me to, you know, ride along just to, you know, so he could get some hours and just kind of learn some things. And he was like, "Wait, why do I need some coveralls? The other guy I went with, he doesn't go along the crawl space, and I really don't feel comfortable pulling an electrical panel." I'm like, well, you're kind of in the wrong business here.
I know, because I'm not going in the crawl space as a real estate agent. So you definitely want a home inspector that's going in the crawl space. That's one of the major areas that need to be inspected,
right?
Because that's additional.
Right.
So absolutely. And so definitely a buyer should definitely feel when you actually, even if you're interviewing home inspectors, ask those kind of questions so that you'll get an idea of exactly what that home inspector will cover for the cost. So basically that home inspection is really good for that one day. Is that correct?
It is correct. It's, I mean, houses change with time. You could leave the water running and things could rot and mold, and mold can appear quite rapidly. But, you know, it's not like, not many people offer a guarantee on, say, appliances and all this stuff with their home inspections. I know some do, but I don't. I'm not trying not to get into that stuff. But yes, the home inspection is good for that day because you're inspecting the quality of the home on that day. Now, because if say somebody came in the next day and made a bunch of repairs, well, then that would totally change the home inspection.
Right. And they could have caused the issue from doing one repair. That actually recently happened. A person was, they fixed an issue, was written up on the home repair, but then when we went back for the re-inspect, there was a leak under the sink where they had another problem.
Right. Yeah, I've ran across that as well.
Question, Miller, how do you deal with the issue of checking a particular function, but it's not in season? Like, for example, being able to check the air conditioning in the wintertime or the heat. How do you handle that?
Well, how I handle it is if we're in the summertime and you have a heat pump, I don't check the heat. Because, well, a couple reasons. If you have a heat pump, it goes in reverse. So if it works one way, generally it'll work the other way. So if it works hot, it'll work cold. Generally, that's how it is. And that's not always the case. But you don't want to, say, turn on the heat in the summer because then you can damage the unit because you'll be putting a lot of strain on it.
Okay.
So I always recommend, you know, annual cleanings, and if I can't test the heat or something like that, I'll put in the report, hey, I couldn't test it because of this reason, but you may want to get that checked out if that's something that you're concerned about. I'll say that, you know, it functioned well during all the other tests, so I don't have as many concerns about it, but if it is something that you're concerned about, I would recommend getting it checked out prior to close.
Would that be the same as the air in the winter? I mean, you know, maybe
yes,
being able to see the unit, the blades, I guess, spinning or something to just give you an indication at least that it appears to be working.
Right. Correct. I mean, if it's in the winter and you have a heat pump, you're going to turn it on. Well, the blades are going to be spinning and it's going to be working. There's a valve on a heat pump called a reverser valve, and that, and what it does is it switches the Freon going from one direction to the other. So generally, if it works in one direction, it will work in the other.
Okay. And you know, so when you're doing your home inspections, what I normally like to do when I'm showing a person a house or we're thinking about seeing certain properties, I do like to see if what type of rehab work has been done, especially with the older homes affordable for some clients, and a lot of investors are going in and they properties. And like you mentioned earlier, oh, it looks so nice. I mean, the granite counters and different things like that. But my main concern is how old is the HVAC? Did they upgrade that? The water heater, the roof, those type of things. But some things also that I would not necessarily know, has the electrical wiring been upgraded? Has the what type of plumbing has that been upgraded? So is that something definitely that, you know, a person should be looking at as well? And definitely you as a home inspector, would you also, you know, definitely talk about those particular items? Because is it necessarily if it hasn't been upgraded, does it mean that it's not up to code?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a two-part question. One, if it's a house that's like, I can tell it's been totally renovated and it's got, you know, the bells and whistles on the outside, I'm kind of looking for, I would call it a pig with lipstick. You know, I don't want it to look great, but then it's on the inside, it's falling apart. So that kind of makes me want to pay more attention to things,
yes.
Things that can be hidden.
Right.
As far as if it's an older home, this is kind of the general rule. Not all home inspectors go by, but I go by. If they've remodeled, a home, if it's an older home. And I know a lot of home inspectors, you know, they don't say, well, we can't say code because it's, that's a separate issue in itself. But, you know, if it's, if the house is totally redone, I want to make sure it's totally redone and everything is up to date. If they've redone the kitchen and the house was built in the 50s when there weren't electrical GFCIs in the wall that protect from, you know, if water, you know, gets in the outlet or something like that, it doesn't electrocute you. I want to make sure that that's put in, because if you're redoing a whole kitchen and making it look nice, well, the safety needs to be there as well. So if you're taking the time to redo an area and you've redone an area, I expect that you bring it up to the standards that it should be.
Okay, and so that is something that you would write in the report as a recommendation or a requirement?
Yeah. Depending on, I guess, what the condition is and how, what the issue is itself, a lot of times I'll put her in the report, hey, you know, this has been redone. They should have, you know, brought it up to current standards. The house was built in this year. You know, these were required from this year going forward. I, you know, strongly recommend, you know, putting them in. And if it was, if it's something that's totally neglected, and it's a safety concern, I'll always put that as a defect.
Yeah, and a part of the reason why I'm asking, say, for instance, the house has been supposedly totally renovated, but now the home inspector noticed that in the electrical panel, it, you have a new heat pump and you have a new stove and a new refrigerator that's also requiring a higher amp. Am
right.
I saying it correct? That doesn't
yes, ma'am.
Match. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to bring that up, because it's the mechanical systems aren't going to be able to perform as they should.
Okay.
If you have these higher efficiency units and that require more amps, but your house can't pull it, and a lot of times, you know, I'll put that in the electrical section. Hey, this has been upgraded. Units have been upgraded, but you know it's not designed to pull what it is. Or what it's required, recommend, you know, electrician, you know, properly, you know, rewire or, you know, remedy whatever the issue may be.
Well, when it comes to home inspections, Miller, it's, I guess it'd probably be obvious that when you're inspecting a home that's vacant, it doesn't pose the challenges that inspecting a that's occupied. Simply because of, you know, and, you know, it's lived in there. Furniture is in the way
right.
You know, you having access to, you know, certain things. How much of a problem does that pose?
So as home inspectors, we don't go around moving furniture because we don't want to break anything, and you know, we don't want to break, you know, you know, dent anything up or move anything out of place that somebody might have there for a particular reason. So, you know, if it's in the way, usually it should be noted, hey, you know, there was some furniture, not all electrical outlets were tested or windows or whatever due to, you know, whatever this may be.
So, yeah, in that particular situation, I'm sorry, were you saying something else?
I was saying, but you know, we'll try to get as much as we can tested, you know, that's as long as something's not blocking it or obstructed. And a lot of times people do that, I don't want to say on purpose, but I'm kind of saying on purpose, like if it's, if there's an issue with something under a sink, there's a leak or something, so they just put a bunch of stuff there. Well, that's kind of a, you know, kind of virtual, I'm definitely looking under this. But if it's furniture and things like that, generally they do not get moved.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I understand. And in that particular situation, we do, we may, you know, the client may want you to come back out to do a re-inspect, and now maybe some of the furniture is moved out before the final walk, at the final walkthrough. That's also our opportunity to see maybe wasn't there before. that can be kind of sticky because now we've passed the home inspection ratified period. So situations like that, when it's a lot of furniture, agents might have to ask that these things be cleared so that the home inspector can make sure a thorough home inspection is done.
You know, right. you mentioned earlier. I'm sorry. Were you going to respond to something Yvette just said?
Oh no, sir.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, mentioned earlier in the show, you mentioned that when looking behind walls, there's an instrument that you're able to use that can, you know, give you some sort of access to kind of be able to see what's going on back there. How accurate is that? So, for example, if let's say there are plumbing issues that aren't detected with the naked eye, you'll be able to check that out and see that there's something going on?
Depending on what it is, and not all home inspectors use those instruments. Like, it's typically dependent on, you know, who you get, if they use them. By the standards, they don't have to have them. But I just like to make sure everything's done thoroughly. So if I have a thermal camera and if I see, oh, man, this floor is, you know, sagging a little bit or there's a little condensation here, you know, I'll put a thermal camera on it or a moisture meter just to see and get a good representation, especially with basements or crawl spaces that are wet or that are finished that, you know, show some indication of some moisture penetration. You know, I can put a thermal camera on it and take pictures and include those in the report. So it's not people like, oh, how can you see this? You know, if, you know, you can't tell by looking at it, or I can show them thermal images of, you know, what's what.
You know, as a real estate agent, I want to ask you this question because even before the home inspector comes in, we have to around the property. Of course, I'm not a home inspector, but, you know, I can check to see if the windows go up and down, if there's any indication of leaks and, you know, just different maybe wood destroying
insects,
you know, termites or something
right.
like that. And it gives me an indication that something may be going on with the property. But what are the major things that you think a real estate agent or that can help a buyer in deciding whether to, even before we get to the home inspection, I just would like to get your opinion, what you consider something important as far as maybe I can also do to just check and verify. I can ask questions, but still, unfortunately, everybody, like you mentioned, they don't tell you everything. You might, you know, so we have to do, and the buyer has to do that due diligence. That home inspector
right.
comes out, that's out of pocket right there. And then definitely before the appraiser comes out, I'd like to have that home inspection ratified. So just taking in consideration the cost prior to actually submitting an offer. What are some things that you might
ask? I would ask them. I know it's something they're supposed to disclose anyways. I know a lot of times they don't. But if they've had a pre-listing inspection, because, you know, you always want to know, hey, well, before they put it on the market, did they get inspection and what was on it? And did they fix those things?
A
pre-listing were they
inspection.
Done right?
Okay. You mean for new construction or just?
No, for a lot of times people will get inspections. Hey, I'm thinking about listing my house. I'd like to get an inspection to see if there's anything that I need to be concerned about prior to selling the home.
Yes.
So
that's great. I never thought about that. You know, and but this is what I've run into, especially sellers who are investors. And so sometimes what they might do is just wait. They do as much as they can and as they want to, and then they wait until the buyer comes and then wait for the buyer to present the report. But then they do everything. So I figured, okay, they must was waiting for the buyer to do the home inspection, and they were saving some cost, I guess. And this
right.
is a thing, situation, I don't think they did a pre-listing. But that's great information, and I'll definitely use that moving forward to inquire concerning any pre-listing, because that's definitely something you would want to do. You're getting your house ready for the market.
Mm-hmm.
to present
right.
it in the best. If you're trying, if you're not trying to sell it as is, and you want to make sure you get a good offer and be prepared to try to get some things done before.
Right, exactly.
You know, this has been a very fast hour. I mean, we've covered an awful lot in this show on home inspections, and I am really, really thankful for you, you know, taking the time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us. I want to make sure we give the people a way of getting in contact with you. Can you share your contact information? How can people reach you? Because I know after hearing this show, there are going to be some people out there. Your phone should be ringing off the hook.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, my email is miller@cornerstoneinspectionsusa.com. And my number where you can reach me directly, it's 804-615-9444. And we have a website and Instagram. It's Cornerstone Inspections, RVA. And, yeah, so I'd be happy to help anybody how we can build relationships.
Thank you so much. And the information is also in the description for those that also might not have caught everything, but it's still in the description. But we do have a few more questions for you, Miller.
Sure.
Okay. So do you recommend the buyer to purchase a home warranty, and what does it normally cost?
It depends. A lot of times if you see on their inspection report that, say, you have a heat pump, heat and air condition that's 20 years old. Well, in that case, they usually don't last much longer than that. So a home warranty may be a good thing because they can cost, you know, up anywhere from like $100 to $300 a month, but that's going to be a whole lot cheaper than having to replace, you know, your whole air conditioned system all at one time.
Okay.
So if the roof, you know, if that's something that's on its last leg, any of the big systems, any of the larger mechanical systems, I would definitely recommend that. And I'll often, you know, we'll let the clients know that as well. Just make sure you know what home warranty company you're getting into, and, you know, what their deductibles are and things like that, because I've experienced in the past with clients, they're like, you know, they've gone to one home warranty company or another, and they've kind of gotten the pass around, and, you know, they've just been trying to patch the system as long as they could to, you know, get as much out of it as they could for the time being. But usually, if the systems are on their last leg, I would get a home warranty because you're usually money ahead.
Yes, that's something that I talk to my clients about up front, too. That's something negotiable in that the buyer can ask the seller to pay for at least a one-year warranty, and sometimes buyers like to extend that warranty, especially because, like you said, the deductible, depending on what the cost is, particular item to get fixed, it might be worth the just paying the $100 deductible and then letting someone come out to fix the item. But especially when it comes to those major items, as you mentioned, the HVAC, the roof. So you said maybe about what, 15 years heat pump? I know I usually
15 to 20 years.
10 to 20 years, okay. But if you keep up good maintenance, it depends on how you're taking care of that unit. I would imagine just like an oil change you have to get for your car. You know,
yes,
you
ma'am.
You should get an oil change and different things like that. And what about a roof? I guess you have the 30-year shingles and, you know, just different types of roofing material. But
right. And if it's something like slate, that can last almost a lifetime. But depending on if it's just like an older, the regular flat three-tab shingles, if you get 20 years out of it, you're doing, you know, really well. Some of the architectural shingles, the 3D looking type,
yeah.
20 to 30 years out of those. And it just depends on, you know, what's been going on with the shingle and who installed it. Like, I inspected a roof the other day, and they had just had it replaced last year, but it looked like they had, you know, deer up there with high heels tap dancing on it.
Really?
Well, one, because you know, they had some hail damage, but two, when the roofers were putting it on, they put it on a really hot day, and so their shoes were smearing all the rocks off of the shingles, and so you know, just the exposed felt of the shingle left. So it was, you know, and just depending on who did the job and that it was done well, and that's a really, really important thing, especially when you're getting things fixed on a home inspection. Make sure it's done well.
Absolutely, and that's pricey. So that's not something, I think I would be very upset if I saw footprints on my brand
yeah.
new.
Like, that's the new style. You didn't know that.
Yeah, it blends in.
But, that's very good to know. I mean, I know sometimes when I'm riding up to a property, if I see shingles popping up or something like that, or I can ask the listing agent to ask the seller when was the last time the roof was replaced, and if they listed in the listing whether it's a new heat pump or different things like that. I mean, all of those for me is a plus.
Right.
For my clients, because then they don't have to be concerned about, hopefully, anything breaking down. But that's why that warranty is also important, just in case, because as you mentioned, things don't last like they used to.
They definitely don't.
Definitely don't. Sometimes I get questions concerning the termite inspection. Normally, that is something that the seller pays for. If there's an indication of termites, that is, well, I guess I just answered the question. That is something that normally that the seller pays for, but is that something that you can identify also in your inspections, although you're not definitely inspecting for termites, or you would recommend someone finding a pest control company?
Right. Normally, if I see evidence of termites, like they're called mud tubes, kind of going up like the foundation walls, or you can see where they've had termite damage in the floor joists, I put it in there as wood destroying insects. I'm not a termite inspector, but I want you to know, hey, you've got some things that need to be checked out. But like you said, that should be, you know, that's on the part of the seller. That they should be, you know, getting the inspection for and treating if there is, you know, any issue. And depends on, you know, how far, you know, gone, if there is any damage. Sometimes, you know, it can be pricey. Sometimes it's not. But we can also tell as well as inspectors if they've had treatment in the past, usually because they drill holes into the side of the foundation. So I kind of like to indicate that as well, that, hey, it looks like it's been treated in the past, and whether there's any damage from that or not.
What about reinspections? After the home inspector has given their report and the seller has agreed to make certain repairs just before they close, because once they close on this house, it's theirs. So how
right.
important is to have a reinspection done?
I think it's pretty important. I will tell you, I did a reinspection the other day. These people had windows that were fogged. You know, it's kind of hard to see through them, and the seals were gone in them. And, you know, they said, oh, yeah, well, we had them repaired, but they had just taken the glass paneling out and cut strips of duct tape to make it look like they had resealed it. And, you know, just things like that, or having repairs done that weren't done well. I mean, they might have fixed the issue, but if it's not done to the quality that I expect, I'm not signing off on that, because that's I'm there for you. I'm not going to say something's good if I wouldn't accept it on my own house.
I totally agree. And that is a situation where, again, even if you say a licensed person, sometimes we as agents, we have to go back and make sure that the person used a licensed person. They may have even agreed to it in the inspection repair request addendum that the seller agrees to. But we
right.
as agents, we we can collect the receipts, but we definitely need to make sure sometimes that the person is licensed, because just because they said they wanted to do it, that's why we have, you know, the person come back for the re-inspect to make sure not only did you do it right, but you used a licensed person.
Correct.
You know, this show has gone by so fast, and we've gotten a lot of information in. Unless there's something else that you feel that we haven't covered that's important, that we do cover, I would love to ask you this next question. It's concerning the name of your company. It's called Cornerstone Inspections. I'm always curious. I mean, it's catchy. I'm always curious how people come up with the names, because, you know, when you're naming something, whether it's an entity, a business, a lot of thought goes into that. How did you come up with the name Cornerstone Inspections?
Well, for me personally, it was my faith. You know, I believe in Jesus, and that, you know, he is the cornerstone of our lives, and that's what I want to build my life on, because the cornerstone of a house, if you don't have a good cornerstone, the whole house crumbles. And so just how I want, you know, Jesus to be the cornerstone of my life, I would want your home to be built, make sure it's built on that cornerstone that's going to hold up. So that's where cornerstone came from.
I mean, when you think about just the symbolism, and then just talking about home inspections and a house and, you know, building a house and making sure that the house has a solid foundation, and you inspect foundations. I mean, it's a great
sounds name. Like you were supposed to be doing some type of home inspection or construction.
I think so.
Yeah, and you know what? And we appreciate the service and, you know, the dedication and integrity that you are offering to this field, because I know you've seen it and I see it as well. The you know, things that people do, that's why you have to have people with integrity in this state, inspections, construction, you know, care about and take pride not only in what they do, but the service that they're providing to the community.
And you can speak firsthand, Yvette, having worked with Amila. You've actually been on inspection that he actually performed, correct?
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely great. As just like we said, very patient and provided the clients with the information that they were looking for, and just an overall, as you mentioned too, it's about a feeling. It's a feeling sometimes when you're trying to choose a person as well. Is this a good match or someone that I can feel comfortable working with? And so definitely, Miller, you provide that also.
One of the things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
After the home inspection, when she got home, she was saying, Juwanza, he's a teacher.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, after a while, once you get into that, you know, the education part, then people also continue to look at you as that, you know, professional in the industry, and we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. This is what we do all the time. So, again, we thank you so much. Miller, for sharing this information with us and with the listeners today.
Any final words for our listeners today, Miller?
No, I just want to thank y'all for having me, and I hope I get the chance to and build relationships with everyone. I really appreciate it. This was great.
Okay,
you know, y'all did a great job, and Yvette, you're a fantastic realtor. I mean, I can
thank
tell you that firsthand.
Thank you so much.
Miller, can you give your contact information again for our listeners in case somebody's just tuning in?
Sure. It's cornerstoneinspectionsrva.com, and our phone number is 804-615-9444. And at Cornerstone Inspections RVA, and that's our Instagram handle.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for your time, everybody. I know that you learned a lot about home inspections today. today.
I know I learned a lot.
Me too. I mean, so we encourage you to give Miller a call because, again, all home inspectors are not the same. You know, there are those that are better than others. There are those that have integrity. There are some out there that, you know, I mean, just as with anything, you have good, better, and best, and we get the experts. And so we're very thankful again to Miller for being our guest today. Miller, we will definitely be in touch, and we encourage all of our listeners, if you're looking for a home inspector, this is the guy that you call. And by the way, Miller, are you just, what area, what's, how far out? I know you're based in Richmond, but do you, is it just Virginia or any other locales?
Just in Richmond for right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go all over, you know, Virginia if need be, but, you know, right now we're just here in Richmond.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
again, thank you so much.
We'll be in touch. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, okay. Take care. That is Miller Van Fossen, owner and operator of Cornerstone Inspections. What a great show, Yvette.
Absolutely. And I knew that he was going to do a great show because he did, as you mentioned, we talked about it, did a great, you know, great home inspector, educator from also working with me with my in-person first-time homebuyer classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately I recognized that he was a good person to have on the team or to work
mm-hmm.
with.
Yeah.
And I really look for those type of people that not only provide quality service, but also have the integrity that comes along with what's needed in this business.
You know, and I like the fact that you mentioned that he's an educator and a teacher, because in business, in life, it's important to be educated. It's important to connect with people that really know, that have the answers that you're looking for. And so in this particular case, if your situation is you need a home inspector, you want to make sure that the person that you're dealing with knows what they're talking about, is licensed, comes with referrals, recommendations, and you can actually sit and listen to them, and you can kind of get a feel for not just their knowledge, but their integrity.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely needed, and unfortunately, you can run into situations that people may take advantage of you. So that's why when you choose, as a buyer, when you're choosing your team that you're putting together, if you don't know of someone, again, for those of you that's listening, definitely Miller is a great person to work with. And then just take in consideration whether you're interviewing people or whatever, but you're actually putting a team together. And that home inspection and that home inspector is a very big part
mm-hmm.
of this investment that you're making
Absolutely.
In the future towards the purchase of your home.
Because you can't take it back.
That's
you
right.
can't give it back. I mean, once you sign on the dotted line,
yeah.
once you go home and then you realize that, oh, I should have got a home inspection, or, I mean, we've heard horror stories.
Absolutely, horror stories.
About people who did not get a home inspection. So you definitely want to make sure that that is a something that you don't overlook just because it's optional. A lot of times when things are optional, people feel like, oh, well, if it's optional, then that means I don't, quote, need it, end quote. But you, it might not be optional, but you need the home inspection.
And one thing we didn't, I don't know if we stressed this, but it's very important that whoever you choose, that person is a licensed home inspector.
Come on.
And just like with my real estate license, you can go over, especially for in Virginia, you can go over to Department of Professional Occupation and Regulations to do a search to see if that person is licensed, currently licensed,
mm-hmm.
And also if that person has any outstanding complaints or different things like that. But again, you have a good, if you need a recommendation, Miller is a great person to go to.
You know, I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the previous shows. You did an awesome show last Monday on the role of the real estate agent. And people, if you missed that, you need to go back and listen to that. We've also done shows with Mike Kao.
With, yes, George Mason Mortgage, he did personal finance and the role of the lender. And then we had Linda Melton with Fulton Bank that
awesome.
Covered the credit reporting part. These series of classes also, although it's a Q&A, you can go over to the Virginia Housing or VHDA website and actually take their online first-time homebuyer class to really go into the actual, it's a six-hour class that you can take at your own pace and sign up online through VHDA or Virginia Housing, which is now, it's called Virginia Housing, because I normally do in-person VHDA first-time homebuyer classes, but of course, because of the COVID situation right now, we're not having any classes, in-person classes. But I do want to talk about our next, our last class in the series, which is episode 6,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be the clothing. That's where everyone wants to get to, the clothing, where you can get those keys.
Keys, please. That is what everybody is waiting for. Oh, my God, you can now, it's party time.
Yes, Okay. Absolutely.
It is party time.
And all of that hard work and all of that patience
mm-hmm.
and even sometimes maybe the frustration is all worth it when
yes.
you get to the closing and you sign the last dotted line
mm-hmm.
and then for me, when I can give that person the keys to that home, they are so excited, and that it reminds me of why I do what I do.
Some people cry at the closing.
Oh, absolutely.
They cry at the
yes.
closing.
Yes. I
so
mean
happy.
I see all kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So but yeah, if you follow the process, if you go back and listen to the shows and you follow the steps, you'll definitely be able to get there. And so as I mentioned last week, just be patient and follow the steps. Listen to the professionals.
Absolutely.
And you will get there. So, yeah, next Monday, July 6th, at 6 p.m., 6 to 7, we will cover the closing.
Well, everybody, we want you to know that you can follow this show. Okay, so that you will be notified every time there's a show. You will be notified of the date, the time, the guest, and the topic. Okay, so that you can prepare. You know, next Monday at 6, we'll be back again. But even beyond that, you'll be notified of future shows, who's coming on, when they're coming on, what they're going to be talking about, and what time they're going to be on. So we want to thank you again.
And also, just before we go, I just want to say, if you want to reach out to me, again, I'm a social real estate broker with Long & Foster. I can be reached at Yvette, Y-V-E-T-T-E, .Preston, at longandfoster.com. Telephone number 804-901-2067. That's my direct line, 804-901-2067. If you have any questions, please, we'd like to hear back from you, get some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning some future shows as well.
Awesome.
If you want to give us some ideas of some topics that you would like for us to get the experts on the show and to talk about and ask some questions. So thank you again for tuning in.
And check out our sister show. It's called Health, Wealth, and Divine, where we talk about spirituality. I mean, we talk about everything spiritual, okay? We talk about health, you know. So check it out, Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much. You could be doing anything, but you're taking time out to spend it with my person and my lovely wife, Yvette.
Thank you so much again. Continue to tune in, and I hope you're enjoying the broadcast. We want to hear from you.
Everybody, thank you again so much for your time. Tell somebody so that they can tune in with you. You know somebody that needs to hear this information. Information is powerful, but it's even more powerful when you're getting it from the experts. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.
Peace.